Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I saw Mike Reese running through the hallway literally minutes ago, and I said, Mike, what's going on? And he said, Rob Gronkowski just retired. So this was a shock to you and the New England Patriots.
Well, it was, Sal. He was showing up on a regular basis, whether that was to get treatment or not. The indication as time went on and we knew he was still weighing his future, the thought process was if he's still showing up at the facility, perhaps that means he's thinking about playing next season. So this takes a little bit of an unexpected turn.
Everybody talking in Arizona about Rob Gronkowski and retiring. It's good news for Robert Kraft, but that probably won't last long. As this story becomes a big, huge story across the country with Gronkowski. Do me a favor, big fella.
What's up?
Here's a column. Rob Gronkowski retires as nothing less than a football folk hero. Do me a favor and read the first paragraph.
Oh, it's heavy.
Sentence.
Whoa.
It's a lot of pages.
All right. Can I say who it is?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, it's really heavy.
Yeah.
Which means somebody used a lot of ink. Took a lot of time. A
lot of words.
Wanted to impress a lot of people.
A lot of people.
This is Chris Gasper.
Yep.
Oh, God. Why do you guys do this to me?
Go ahead.
All right. This is the very first paragraph.
Right.
There are certain sobriquets.
Yes. Sure.
Don't really know what that is, but that's fine.
Yep.
Are you going to explain this afterwards?
Yeah.
Sobriquets
are things that in the summertime when you're having a barbecue, you throw them in, light the fire, and you have a barbecue.
Isn't that briquettes? Why is it sobriquets?
Sobriquettes is
that a special type of briquette?
A person's nickname. I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
Just say nicknames.
Yeah, I had no idea.
It's not crazy enough. All right, so there are certain sobriquets that resonate viscerally.
Yep, very good.
In Boston sports, conjuring wistful feelings of my greatness. Yep. Yaz, Espo, Hondo, Gronk.
What was the second name? You missed the name.
Kuz.
Okay, very good.
I just skipped that. I didn't want to do all that.
There are certain sobriquets that resonate viscerally in Boston sports, conjuring wistful feelings of fame.
I had no idea what sobriquets were.
That first line.
When he does this, does
do
he
you
like...
just read it?
He bugs the crap out of me. Because he tries. He is so impressed with himself. Do you think he does the whole...
Hold on, do you think
he does that whole like Conor McGregor walk after he types this out? Does he do the whole like you know thing when he moves around with his arms? Because he's so proud of the real, all the big words that he's using?
No, he does the Zion Williamson thing.
He does that?
Stiff as a board and he has the arms. You know what? I think we're mispronouncing it. I just looked
it up. Which one?
I think it's sobriquet.
Oh, it's French?
Whatever.
Was it French?
I would say it is French, yeah.
Sobriquets. But is it? It's a nickname or is it actually?
It says here it might be Dutch.
It's a person's nickname.
Who uses Dutch?
So let me read.
What are we doing here?
What is that first line?
I don't know.
Conjuring wistful feelings.
I swear to God, that's what Gasper does.
Sobriquet.
Chris, we love you. You're a kid from Lynn. Stop it.
You're not going to fall for the banana.
You think there's a single person in Lynn that understands what sobriquets is? I mean, come on. It's over. Everybody said you're writing sports, Chris. Save it for another novel.
There are certain nicknames that resonate great feelings for Boston sports fans,
right?
That leave us happy with our fandom.
I would say this
is called the SAT synonym challenge.
I would say that's poorly written, but actually it's the first understandable draft. By most
it's
people.
The first draft. You know, I usually like to write it out freehand.
Right. Get an editor come in and help you.
Yeah. Let the editor write the headline.
Jesus. We're talking about Gronk fans, too.
Exactly.
Like Gronk was...
You know what?
Do you think Gronk knows that word?
No, but the Gronk probably read all the articles, you know what I mean, about himself. You know, the day he retired, he wants to see what everyone's saying. He read that first
Babcock?
Line and said, where's Conor Spies?
Yeah, see, you know a real challenge? A real challenge for Gasper? Write this in Gronk speech. So the Gronk fans, Gronk Nation.
Yo soy fiesta.
Yeah, a little bit of Spanish, a little bit of you know, write that out. How do you spell that anyway?
Sobriquets that resonate viscerally.
Yeah, I had no idea. I read the first line
conjuring
myself.
Conjuring wistful feelings.
I don't know. I've never. Have you ever had a wistful feeling?
Oh, God. God. I just don't even understand. Like, that first line. Like, with a cardigan and a pipe.
See, to me,
right between my
and a smoking jacket.
And it's even worse. It's almost like he tries to insult you. It's almost like he wants to say, I'm smart and you're stupid.
Yeah.
Because he says, there are certain sobriquets or sobriquets that
you
resonate
screwed it up too.
Viscerally in Boston sports, conjuring wistful feelings of fandom. Then the next sentence, they're more than nicknames. So why doesn't he do this? First sentence. There are certain nicknames that resonate viscerally in Boston sports, conjuring wistful feelings.
Even that word sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
I mean, I know what it is, and I get it, but...
I know that word.
But now he's using nicknames in back-to-back sentences.
Yes. Isn't that a double negative or some sort of English...
No.
Yes. Give him a red mark.
No, he could say, they're more than that.
You know, I'm going to grade this paper.
They're more than that.
I'm going to grade this.
Bigger than that. What would you grade that?
I'm going to grade it.
Would you grade that? I tell you what, 1, 2, 3,
it's heavy.
Four,
I told you it was heavy.
5, 6 printed pages. The big lug over here is not
dancing
reading Chris
at
Gasper
the
today. And by the way, you're not alone. I would say a majority of the people look at this and say, six freaking pages, and I don't even understand word 4 in the piece. I'm out.
I'm going to read the bold. The biggest brother. Okay, great. Okay, he was like a lab rat. Right, he was the spawn of the sea, which was his dad dancing at the draft. Oh, that was so cool when he was dancing right when they drafted him and he put that helmet on. Wow, it was a great story. Birth of the spike. Remember how cool it is when he spiked the ball? Oh my god, it was awesome. What about when he said, "Hey, I'm gonna dance in that little house over there where he played in London." Injuries. This is where it gets dark and gloomy. Gronk. He's a bigger guy, a power guy. Oh, this is Gonzalez, Tony Gonzalez talking about it. He isn't going to juke people. Actually, he does. His game is power, mostly power. Run you over. It's hard to sustain that. It's hard to play that way. Earl Campbell, whoever you are, it's not going to sustain long term. That's right. That's right. He is known.
A lot
Earl
of Tony
Campbell.
Gonzalez stuff in there. Good quotes from him.
Do this. Take page two.
Thank you.
Page two and read read this paragraph, The Biggest Brother. Page two.
Oh, no.
So you go, Lou.
No.
No, it's his turn.
No, I want you
Which
to
one? Turn. Gronkowski was born all-time NFL great?
Yeah.
He looks like he was genetically engineered in a laboratory to be the apotheosis of tight end play.
Oh, my God.
He can't help himself.
I can't take it.
It's almost like Gasper when he's writing it. He's sitting there going,
how do I mess with 40?
I am smarter than everybody else.
You're stupid.
People are going to read this. Stupid people are not reading it.
We have a temperature inversion because it's Arctic air in nature.
Oh, my God.
Show off.
Just totally
right?
Your words.
Show off.
Now, let me go back to the phones. People want to talk about Gronk. Gronk retiring, and where is Patriot Nation looking at the depth chart right now and saying, oh, my God. What the hell are we going to do? Now, I get it. I know.
Nobody's concerned. Brady and Bill.
Well, it's not opening day yet.
Thornton.
It's not opening day. There's a long time between now and that first Sunday in September, Lou. But isn't anybody concerned right now?
You hear that, you Illuminati?
Isn't somebody at least looking at it?
Somebody has got to be looking at this. Here's the thing. So,
there are a lot of holes.
Even when free agency first started, there was a lot of, stop, slow down, it's early. What are we doing? It's all these guys are going to be signed. Wait till the draft. The thing that kind of stands out to me, so let's just take Jared Cook as the most recent example.
Yes.
Jared Cook, tied in for the Oakland Raiders, good player, would be a perfect fit here, especially if you're going to draft a younger tight end. He'd be that perfect role model, probably give him a 3-year deal. He loses his job at around his third year, and then there you go. They couldn't sign him. They lost out on signing on him also. And I've heard a bunch of different rumors going around about how important he was and how they traveled out there to see him and they tried to get him to convince him to sign.
Well, can I ask you this? Were they able to tell him definitively whether he was going to be the guy,
right,
or whether Gronk was going to be the
difference,
guy?
It's a big difference, right? Unless you're going to be the number one tight end for Drew Brees in his offense. You're going to be the number two tight end and play a Dwayne Allen role with Gronk.
No. See, that's where I think.
No, he's more of a catcher. I understand
that. Well, Martellus Bennett.
Yes.
What are we doing here?
Yes.
I mean, there's been a bunch of. The goal is to have two of them.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
But if Dwayne Allen ended up being crappy.
But would you rather be Martellus Bennett with Gronk and Brady, or would you rather just be the guy for Drew Brees?
What are you paying me?
Yeah. So there you go.
I'm not kidding. So
they really wanted Jared Cook. As you pointed out, hearing a bunch of stuff, how interested did they go out and meet him? And he said no? Well, I they really wanted Adam Humphries, and he said no. They really wanted Cole Beasley, and he said no.
But let's say you were...
They wanted Golden Tate, and he went to the Giants because he wanted to win now.
Yeah, he wanted to win right away.
But like, let's say you were...
He may be the smartest one at all.
But if you were willing to pay Jared Cook more money than New Orleans, but you still couldn't tell him whether he was going to be the guy or whether Gronk was going to be back, that's a huge difference.
Do we have it all warped? And are we completely wrong that this is a desirable place? I think that, at least I thought, that this was a desirable place.
I think it's desirable place for older players that are looking for a year or two.
No, you, really?
For a younger player, or even a 26 or 27, you just said it. You bring a guy in here, even if they give him a 3 or 4 year contract, it's not guaranteed money.
It's a weird vibe. And listen, I'm not going to sit there and say that Rome is burning, but that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
Oh,
I, listen, I'm a little, I'm exaggerating
America's
a little bit.
Good talk.
But based on everything that's been going on, it's okay to admit that you're not comfortable in the way things stand right now. We just talked about all the guys that they lost out on.
Right.
They got all these 1 year deals, and all these receivers with these 1 year deals, their bonuses are nothing to speak of. It doesn't keep them on the team. It's not $1 million bonus. You can't screw up in camp and then realize that that you suck, and then they got to keep it because they gave you $1 million.
No, they're bringing these guys in so that they can get rid of them, jettison them out of here very quickly if it doesn't work out, right? I mean, I think that's pretty obvious.
When did Jared Cook agree with the Saints? Was it over the weekend?
Yeah, like Friday or Saturday.
All right, so Bill knew Thursday? They were doing?
Maybe that's why he was pushing it on Thursday.
Maybe it happened
on Thursday. Bill was.
Who's out in L.A.? Who lives in L.A.?
I thought Jared Cook lived in L.A.
Well, he played with the Raiders. Maybe he does. Maybe he went out. Maybe it was a business trip. TMZ caught him on.
Is Tom unbreakable? Or?
But I'm saying if he asked Thursday to find out, hey, what the hell are we doing? So he made a push over the weekend. So maybe he could have told him. Listen, we're getting answers from Rob from Rosenhaus that, yeah, Gronk might be done. I think he's done. And he still went to the Saints. I mean, that's just the whole thing, like you're pointing out, Christian. I mean, these are guys they went after. These are guys that they wanted, and they missed out on all of them.
So what do you do now? You don't have Gronk.
Because that would have been because you could sit there and say they're going to draft two kids and a tight end. As you point out, they had Algie Crumpler the year they brought in Gronk and Hernandez because they needed a veteran. They always do. So now there's no Gronk. There's no Dwayne Allen. There's no Jared Cook. There's no other tight end you're bringing in here. Austin Seferian Jenkins available?
Yes, he is.
All right, so there you go.
There's a couple other...
is he any good, Tyler?
Played well against the Patriots last year, remember?
Yeah. I mean, so is,
I don't know.
Is that
you may be past that point. I think and here's the other thing. Here's the one thing the Patriots love is confusion. And, they don't like people knowing what they're going to do. I think most teams... Let's say you're trying to move up. They know they're going to get a tight end. You're getting a tight end or a wide receiver, right? So if you're trying to manipulate the draft, because they're not going to hide what position they're interested in. Do you think?
Not anymore.
I don't think they have the ability to hide what they're in. Hey, they got an offensive lineman again. Bam, well, they got a tackle.
But see, that's also part of this retirement announcement. Remember last week we're saying, maybe he's already retired and they're just like, hey, do us a solid and don't announce it yet. You know, you didn't announce it in spring in free agency, so we didn't look desperate. And an agent said, listen, Gronk just retired, dude. You need my client. You got more money than that. Look at all that money he freed up. So we don't announce it during free agency. I would have said, don't announce it until after the draft if you already know. Because when I try to trade up to go to 10 to get the kid from Iowa, the team's going to hold me hostage. You need this guy. You got to replace Gronk. So if they're starting to trade and maneuver, I would think they kind of know some team could get a little bit more from
him. The panic mode, not that they've pushed it yet, but... So they pushed it a little bit with Humphries, lost. I would say they pushed it a little bit with Cole Beasley, lost. I think they pushed it with Jared Cook, lost. You think the draft is going to be, they're just going to sit there with their, I don't even know what Golden Tate was really.
No,
really,
I
Golden Tate may have wanted to play here, but
interested. We haven't heard like anything more, like we did with others. So we don't know how much the interest was with Golden Tate. But you go draft this kid out of Iowa. Let's say you trade up and you get him at 10. That's it? Rookie? Tight end? It's all on him? There's no veteran with him?
Crossing.
Who?
LaCrossing.
It's not LaCrossing.
It is now.
Name.
Does LaCrosse know?
Matt LaCosse.
LaCrosse. What's the big deal? We all know who we're talking about.
Lacrosse is a sport you like to practice.
Mm-hmm. So you know what they'll end up doing. They'll end up using, because they have a lot of assets in the draft. They have more than anybody. And they will use that those assets to make a trade to get a receiver.
Yeah, they're shopping for guys that they can give up to one of those third-round picks for. Compensatory picks.
Correct.
Whatever it might be.
Right.
What guy can I get? I heard Schefter this morning talking about Mohamed Sanu. Somebody like that, right? And maybe you wait for the draft, just like they did with Trent Brown. You know, so now all of a sudden it's a pick for next year.
Correct.
Because they're going to get some compensatories for next year. So after the draft, the team drafts a wide receiver, and it sort of opens your eyes. And you're like, I thought you were set at wide receiver. You drafted a kid in the first or second round. Now you start looking at their roster and saying, you draft and replace that guy. Let me tell you about, let's talk about that guy. And that's what they did with Trent Brown, because they drafted the kid out of Notre Dame, 12th or whatever the hell it was, San Fran. They didn't need Trent Brown anymore. So you wait till after the draft, and hopefully you shop one of these compensatory picks and get a guy.
All right. So Gronk is retired. We're taking phone calls to talk about it. Everybody knows how great he was. Second best all-time New England Patriot player? I would say yes. Second best. The only thing I thought was bizarre about all of this is, you know, we talk about the timing of it. Adam Schefter this morning, when he was on with Mutt and Callahan, was talking about that he had heard that Gronk was actually in conversations with somebody about doing one of those stupid decision TV shows like LeBron did. Could you imagine? Listen to this. Listen to this.
2 weeks ago, I got a call shortly after I was on your station, and I said, you know, like the fact that we haven't heard anything, I think bodes well for him. Right after then, I got a call from somebody saying, you are aware that Gronk's people, whoever those people are, have been shopping a decision show to television networks, cable TV shows. Yeah, I don't know what networks, but
like a LeBron James decision.
The idea was kicked around. Yeah. Gronk would have some sort of public television, you know, cable TV special pay-per-view. I don't know what form it would take. I don't know the details, but I could tell you for a fact that the idea was bandied about whether he would do, you know, something like this, his retirement, in a broadcast way where there would be like a decision. Now, it obviously never got legs and never gained traction, but that idea was kicked about, and the way it was described to me was, you know, he wants to, you know, do his retirement in a public way.
Thank God somebody came to their...
Lord, right, thank God.
Thank God somebody came to their senses
and said...
Is that
like a gender reveal?
Yeah.
Yeah,
here's the balloon.
Similar. Yeah, very similar.
I mean, if we said tonight... on HBO at 8 o'clock, the Rob Gronkowski decision show. I mean, right away, aren't you sitting there saying, okay, well, he's not going to have a decision show if he's coming back, right?
It would have been a big reveal. Not that I'm coming back. Here's what I'm doing next. Let the curtain fall. And there's this caricature of him in his new wacky TV show.
If you heard that, you would say, okay, I mean, it's not that big of a reveal. He's going to retire, because what kind of a show is like, hey, Rob, by the way, I'm back. I'm not retiring.
Is
anybody okay? What are we doing here?
You're going to be there to be the guy?
I was going to say, has anybody done anything that was more stupid than the LeBron James decision show? He did recover great from it. How stupid it was. Unfortunately, sort of. Lou, it would not have been on HBO. It probably would have been on True TV. At least I know where it is
the
now.
LeBron James,
found
where,
it.
Where he that screwed up was the fact that the Cavs didn't know. Right, they found out like a half hour, an hour before the show. If he came out publicly, like a kid out of college, recruit, and just said, "I am not returning to Cleveland. I'm not coming back. We're going to do a reveal where I'm going next." It'd be like a college recruit.
So
and then
with
you
all
might
the
sit
hats
there and say,
front?
Okay, whatever. I mean, yeah, we say it's big ego. It's all about him. But I thought the worst part about it was like the Cavs found out like an hour before. And that's only like pretty much ownership.
Yeah.
Maybe the teammates, players, I don't know if they knew. Coach, I don't know if he knew.
Well, apparently Kraft didn't know until he was taking the flight out to Arizona for the league meetings.
Right.
That's when he found out. That Gronk called him and told him he
so who does Gronk call first?
That's a good question. I know that he called Kraft on that Sunday. Did he call Brady before that?
I don't think there's a lot of people that he. I mean, there probably maybe some other guys that he was close with, but I feel like there's this. Hey, First of all, I think Brady knew anyways.
Well, let me ask you this. Does Gronk do something now? Now, he's done it on Instagram. I saw he tweeted something out, a short little synopsis today. Does he come out now and have a press conference?
Exactly. That's the next step.
And then we find out all the details of what happened.
Well, he's going to probably have something. No. I mean, announce his retirement. Don't we always get that? Rob Gronkowski tomorrow will hear it maybe at 1 o'clock. Or
yeah, doesn't Bill have Wednesday? To say he's the perfect Patriot?
Well, he put out a statement. He and Kraft put out statements.
Rob Gronkowski got a press conference. I mean, not Rob. I mean, Rob Ninkovich got a press conference. Troy Brown, Teddy Bruschi.
Sorry, please.
Vince Wilfork.
Here's what I worry about. We talk about the impact of Rob Gronkowski. You know, and I said, you know, I don't know where this offense goes. They're still going to win the East. We know that. But I would expect on this moment, I know a lot can change, but yeah, I don't know. It's going to be year one receivers with Julian Edelman. I don't know how quick it's going to click, but Tom Brady will take a step back. Tom Brady won't have as good of a year as he did last year. Does this sort of start the whole, like, does Brady walk away a year or two sooner? Just the trickle-down effect of just, you know, not playing good football? Because you lose a guy like Gronk?
I'm not sure where we're going with
next year, do you lose a guy like Edelman? He's on his last year of his deal?
See, that's why I think the Brady conversation.
And that's why it ends?
Yeah, maybe Brady will sit down with Oprah in the offseason, Stedman. Maybe we'll hear some of this, you know, because that would be the fascinating one to see.
Every time, shouldn't be kissing this kid like that.
So Brady's not physically breaking down, but you're right, Lou. He's not going to have the same weapons to throw to. He did in the first few weeks of the season, then they got Josh Gordon, and then, of course, we know what happened there. But he's not going to have those weapons, right?
I plead the fifth.
No. No, I'm just looking at last year. You know, 65% completion, 4,300 yards still. I mean, all good, 29 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Quarterback rating of 97.7. That was his lowest since 2014. Remember those years where they're searching for weapons, 2013. Yeah. So if he comes down from that type of year, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're gonna win football games. You can win it differently, running the football, and you're good defense, which I think they'll be good, and a chance to be even better next year. But does it sort of keep pushing Tom Brady to sit there and say, "Yeah, I'm just not the same quarterback"? Or
and the other thing, here's the other thing: Tom Brady OTAs, all of them, off-season conditioning,
he's
all
not
of
going.
Them.
He's not
all of them.
He's not
all no. of them.
And
nobody.
And what are, yes, what are you going
to
say?
Yes. He goes to him.
I say he goes to him. Yes.
No chance.
I say he goes to them.
Why? No chance.
You
skipped him last year. Why would he?
And last year he told us he needed to be with his family.
Well, he was with his family.
You know,
they've had enough.
He wants 1 year
again.
He's sick of his family. Is that what he's telling me?
He's skiing. I think there needs to be. I think there needs to be a signal, a sign from Brady.
This offseason is going to be about
that. He sends to everyone, especially on the team, just how important it is. I don't know if he could sit out. I don't know if he can just avoid being there this year. Last year, I think it was different based on everything that was going on. And, yeah, I think he was due to kind of take a break. This year, I think he needs to be there. And if he's not, that's a mistake.
It's interesting you're bringing that up.
To
because,
be there last year.
Yeah, last year, to me, there was so much that went on the year before, and I just felt like he needed to disconnect. With all the you know, the articles going on about their relationship, Alex Guerrero, there was just a lot of negative energy, and I think they all needed a break. Okay, well, I almost feel like everyone needs to be, all hands need to be on deck. You need to be in the building. These young guys, you're gonna have a lot of guys that have no freaking clue.
That's
no
the argument
clue
you can make.
And I just feel like this, and more than just you know, throwing the ball to them. They need to be around you.
You
need to be seen this year.
So the truth is, this lays the foundation for the start of training camp.
So as much as we wrote it off last year because they went on to win the Super Bowl, so you can't sit there and say that Brady skipping the OTAs was an issue because they won the whole thing. But Christian's right. You're looking at these names. Who's Steven Anderson? Matt LaCoste? None of these guys know anything out of the arm of Tom Brady, right? And Maurice Harris. And,
who was that?
Exactly. They don't know.
Danny Etling's going to get him right.
Right.
Who is that?
All right, let's take some phone calls on Gronk here. Here's James in Norwich. Hey, James.
Hey, good.
No crying.
Yeah, well, but I just want to remind you guys. You guys had the same.
All right, James, unfortunately, the phone line sucks. We got to move on. Call us back. Here's Mike in the Cape. Mike?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
So I mean, I can't blame Gronk for wanting to go out on top, taking a year off. You know, he'll probably do some wrestling, do a little acting, get some endorsements. We're getting deep into the playoffs. hey, Tom, you guys want me back? Or you know, next year he might come back. I don't know. I thought he was going to go out with Tom. You know, they'd go out together. Gronk would stay for another year. But, you know, it surprised me, but I get it. But I expect to see him back.
See, there's two parts to the story. The obvious part is he's retired. And the second part is he's coming back. I'm going to go back to Willie. Willie was on Dale Keefe last week. He said this. NFL Network, sorry.
I think Gronk's going to take a break for a while. I don't think he's going to...
Like a whole while?
I don't think he's initially going to start off and come back. I think he's going to figure it out. And this is just my own assessment. Later on, deep in the season, he could possibly come back and play.
I want to make sure I'm clear with what you're saying. You're saying that you don't expect Rob Gronkowski to go to camp?
No, I don't think he's going to play. I think he's going to start off the season by being retired. And I think he's going to get the itch. I think he's going to be in great shape, and he's going to probably have that feeling that, hey, I want to come back.
Okay, see, that
I would not
part,
take this lightly. On, I would not take on, any on. Of this lightly.
No, see, okay. So Willie obviously talked to Alex or somebody
Guerrero.
Else. Okay,
right.
They're buddies.
Yep.
So
that's just a feeling.
So no, he knew that he was retiring. That's a fact. He knew. So he kind of had to build around it. I think his personal opinion, not without with any input from anybody else, was that he will come back. He thinks he could come back, and it's not even
a
definite. They're going to leave the door open. He could come back midseason. No, that's his feeling. That's his opinion.
So wait a minute. The first part of it you think is based on reporting.
Somebody told him he's retired.
So he knew he was going to retire. Yes. Right.
Then he gave his opinion. Just based on older guys, and obviously he was one of them, and going through this, and what it's like when you're done, and then you take in put his age into account, and he's not even 30 yet. He goes for a year off, or maybe he goes through 8 months, and he says, it's December, let me sign you.
I'm telling you, it after 8 or 9 months, he might feel great. His body feels better than
it
has in
great
years.
Now.
See, I think one of the interesting things will be, you know, this cap situation for the New England Patriots. They usually go into the year with, what, $5 million in cap space?
Right.
Trades, signings, whatever it might be.
Yeah, this would be a pretty good pickup, though,
so
mid-season pickup.
Yeah, but if they go into the year with, say, $11 million, or $10 million in cap space, like more than they've ever had going into it, then I would say, yeah, they're probably leaving the door open. But, I mean, what does that mean? Because when Rob Gronkowski comes back, all the reports I saw was about $600,000 a game as far as cap. So if he comes back for the last 8 games, then you've got to keep, you know, about $5 million in cap space available from to just join the team. So if they usually go into the year with $5 million in cap space and all of a sudden they go into this year with $10 or $11 million, then, yeah, they're sitting around thinking, too, that he might come back. But does Bill just sort of sit there in week 7, week 8? Hey, Rob, I don't know, have you made up your mind? You thinking about coming back? I'd like to know. We got a couple weeks. Should I use you?
Do you remember?
How desperate are they?
You know what happens to guys that leave and come back that are out of football?
And decide,
hey, remember Dez Bryant?
They get hurt in the first week.
Yeah, you get hurt in practice.
Pull the hammy.
Achilles. The one thing he wants to avoid is being hurt and dealing with it.
But it does make a little bit more sense that if Gronk gets away from it for a year, I think you brought this up off the air. I think it was you. I'll give you credit anyway,
sure.
Christian.
Oh,
that it's
God.
Like a college student who just gets bored with college and needs to get away for a year, goes to Europe, and then comes back.
Goes backpacking.
Goes back to college.
So he goes backpacking.
Right. So that would not surprise me if he gets away from it, and this glamorous Hollywood life that he envisions isn't exactly what he thought it was going to be. And so he comes back and he says, boy, maybe I'll get back to football and I could make, you know, $5 million in football. We don't know what this whole experience is going to be like for him over the next year, right?
No, yeah, you're right.
Right. Remains to be seen.
And once you get away from it, and everyone, I hear people talk, oh, you got to miss the camaraderie, you got to miss the fighting, and you're going to miss the challenge, you're going to miss the... You miss being on the field and it's 3rd and 1 and they're going to throw you the ball. No, you don't.
You're going to miss getting
that. Rob Ninkovich. Ask him. He just retired.
And you're going to miss getting a helmet in your quad.
Yeah. Remember
it blows
this
up
part?
Twice as big.
Yeah, that was real fun. Here, let me take a sledgehammer and remind you real quick. No pads now. I'm just going to hit you on your quad. Now let's see what happens. Let me see how much you missed the game. It's a quick little reminder. Someone should walk around with him.
But what happens?
And just every time he thinks about it, just punch him with a hammer.
But what happens when people in the street forget certain sobriquets? What happens then? Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? Rob what? All right, 617-779-7937 right here on
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the Radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
Look who I have. New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski!
From the championship-winning New England Patriots, it's Rob Gronkowski and his family.
Yamo Roberto.
I'm Ranger Rob.
What the heck is going on, people?
I haven't worn clothes since we won the Super Bowl, just to make sure everyone thinks I played.
Give me a chest bump! Boom!
In the NFL, we can only Gronk footballs, but out here, we can Gronk whatever the heck we want.
We created the Gronk ball. It's a football speaker.
I'm a shark expert.
Just doing Ranger things today.
That's WrestleMania! Gronkowski's in the ring!
Favorite wrestler growing up.
Oh, yeah. Al Venus.
Hello, lady.
What is clock cleaned by Gronk?
Oh, my God!
WrestleMania mojo!
What's your favorite speed limit out there?
One more. I got 69 touchdowns.
I'm a touchdown machine, plus the chicks dig my vibe. You're a virgin. I'm not. I score all the time.
Only you know what I mean, baby.
51%.
Which way?
I don't know.
I do love the laugh. It's just childish, but I do love the laugh. By the way, the one thing I'm noticing on Twitter today, have you seen this? A lot of people are posting videos in which Gronk did something for their kids, like for a bat mitzvah, or, you know, for a kid's birthday and something like that. So, and they're talking about, you know, I'm reading one here, did something similar for my son's bat mitzvah, incredible human being. So everybody's applauding about that. And we had a guy cry, actually called up the show today, and he was in tears. He was crying. He had,
that was amazing. He had trouble in his garage, three-car garage, with all the doors closed.
I thought you gave him a good tip. Open the garage
let's not get carried away here.
A lot of good videos of his greatest plays. Yep. Seen that all over Twitter.
So the media here in Boston are all over this over at the TD Garden, the news department of the various TV stations, including Boston 25 News. This is Robert Goldston. We're told Rob Gronkowski won't be at tonight's WWE event in Boston, but we got a no comment on his future in the squared circle. Squared circle. You got that?
I get it.
We're live at 5 with a sports marketing expert on what Gronk should do to stay successful as he leaves the NFL.
No Gronk tonight, huh?
No Gronk tonight.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah. WrestleMania mojo!
Me too. They like to hide those things, don't they? Yeah. Here's Doug in Waltham. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
That's good. So I just wanted to comment about the Gronk thing because I think it definitely hurts the Patriots for a little bit that he's retiring. But I think they've always shown an uncanny ability to find replacement guys of value. I remember way back when, you know, the guy they had, what was it, Ben Coates, and then you had Ben Watson, and then, you know, obviously you had Gronk. And
but those are draft picks.
Yeah, that's true, too. But, I mean, like, they... I haven't really seen a team that drafted tight ends as well as the Patriots does.
No, you're right. And, you know, they got this guy over here who was pretty
good.
Didn't
draft me, though.
No, they you know, they...
Dan Graham's a player. Bam is obviously just retired. But I would even say they also had Kyle Brady here for a year.
But with all those guys you're talking about, was there a veteran transition?
I don't really remember there being a veteran transition.
There was.
Yeah.
There was?
For every... Well, I'm not going back to Ben Coates. I don't remember those days, but...
Well, you
I would
were
even
there.
Say Kyle Brady, once Dan Graham left, they brought in Kyle Brady with Ben Watson.
Okay.
And before that, it was... I mean, there's always a guy. There's always some sort of bridge, older guy.
It was Cleveland.
Whatever, Ricky. Don't worry about it. It's not important.
Gronk and Aaron Hernandez came in?
No. He was not. Yeah. Algie Crumpler. Yeah.
Who was his
Crumpler.
Mentor?
Okay.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like Crumpler was a stopgap, though.
He was.
He was.
We're talking
but
about.
He was a veteran.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. He was a veteran coming out of Atlanta. So let me ask you this. If they actually do move up in the draft and get one of the tight ends you're talking about, and they don't have one of the veteran mentors with them, what do you expect for production in the first year from one of these kids?
Well, once you go, let's say... who was our drafted? I'm trying to see. Gronk, his first year. I got to look up his stats. It's not going to be that. I don't know what his numbers are going to be. 35 catches? Four touchdowns?
Yeah. And they might not, maybe they like the kid down in Alabama. They don't have to move up to get him, right?
No, he should be around. They're going to be, there may be three tight ends. Irv Smith Jr.
Right, but the kid, the big kid, the white kid from Iowa, you think that guy's like 10th? He's going top 10? 10, 12 in that range? Right?
And wait, say it again?
So the two kids in Iowa.
Yeah.
Number one of them would probably go top like 10, 12.
Hawkinson, yeah.
And the other kid.
Fant.
Goes still in the first round.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
And it just depends. So just real quick, Gronk's first year. His first year. This is insane. 42 catches, 546 yards, 10 touchdowns. 10? That can't be right.
Oh.
I almost don't even believe it.
42 catches? And 10 touchdowns, 42. Is that what you're saying?
That is an unbelievable average.
59 targets, 42 catches,
59
touchdowns.
Targets. 10 touchdowns.
Come on, see if you can find
it. I don't think that to me would be, well, I mean, get it, figure it out. Like, so he comes in, he's this huge 6'6 guy, he's totally athletic, and it's all red zone stuff. He's just killing people. Nobody knows how to stop him. Nobody can figure it out. Didn't play his senior year in college, so there's no tape.
And Hernandez, by the way, had 45 catches, 6 touchdowns.
Oh, Lord.
So the two rookies came in 45, 563 yards, 6 touchdowns for Hernandez.
So maybe that's where they go. Maybe they bring in these rookies, and suddenly they have great confidence in these young kids. Here's Jim. He's driving around in a car. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
Good, Jim.
Good. I got a quick question. Where do you rank Gronk going into the Hall of Fame?
What do you mean?
He's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
What do you mean? Where do I rank him?
First ballot.
Let me say this. He's obviously one of the greatest tight ends to ever play the game.
Yep.
The question is he going to be a victim of Seth?
Who, Gronk?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
When they come for the Hall of Fame vote, is he going to be a victim of Seth?
You talking about career numbers or regular season?
No, with regular numbers. He's only played 9 seasons, but legitimately, he's probably only played about 7.
Right.
Right, with injuries. So that's why I asked the question.
I personally think
he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Because you're going to, and he's going to be aided by the fact that he played so many playoff games, so many Super Bowls, and his numbers are off the charts.
Did you hear those?
I was going to say, I'm not worried about the numbers. As a matter of fact, go through the numbers that SI, Sports Illustrated, tweeted out. I mean, he holds record after record. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I know it's not all of them. He's not going to have the career numbers, career catches, career tight ends, because Tony Gonzalez, Gates, these guys played forever.
That's why you can make a serious argument that he's not the greatest tight end of all time because of the lack of longevity, right? But as far as Hall of Fame, no.
So he's the most. I mean, I'm not going to read all these, but here's one I didn't read earlier. This one is interesting because here's a comp. Most seasons of 1,000 plus yards receiving by a tight end, he has 4, tied with Tony Gonzalez and Jason Witten. And we all know Tony Gonzalez is already in. Jason Witten will be in as soon as he retires again. Actually, Jason Witten did Gronk a solid.
Fewest seasons on a Monday night broadcast booth.
So there's a record. Yep. You can put that in his book and claim that to some sort
of
accomplishment.
You know, when you see that wide bunch set.
Yeah, there it is, wide bunch.
What are we talking about? There's no question about him as a Hall of Famer. Now, if you want to argue, does he stand up as the greatest tight end of all time? For those 9 years, you can, but you can make an argument that other guys had a longer career, were able to sustain it for a longer period of time, and therefore you would take them over.
Well, when you start talking about the greatest of all time, and I know Tony Gonzalez in that long-winded piece by Chris Gasper had some quotes in there, and like, Tony Gonzalez said he doesn't believe in, you know, greatest of all time.
Right.
You know, I know some people don't. We love lists, but when you start talking about the greatest of all time, it's not just production as a player, which
that
you check
right
the box
the
for
greatest player of all time.
For Rob Gronkowski while he played. But then you got to look at it and say, okay, but did he do it for 18 years like others? You know, I mean, now,
longevity.
Now longevity has to come in play when you talk about the greatest of all time.
And I tell you what, though, and I think people forget about how unbelievably athletic and good Tony Gonzalez was.
Yeah, you're right.
It's not like this guy played in an NCAA tournament as a power forward.
Yeah.
He came in the league. His first year was rough. And people thought he was somewhat of a bust, wasn't nearly close to what he should have been. And then he just blew up like crazy. Run after the catch, great hands. He invented the catch radius.
Yeah.
So everything they used to do to Gronk, people did to Tony Gonzalez during the red zone, at the red zone area. Yeah. So
you're right. But time has gone on. You saw him toward the end of his career, so he was less of a player. And we were talking about Antonio Gates earlier today. Same thing. You're seeing him now
at
the
end. That's the thing.
Part-time player.
With Gonzalez, honestly, you can look at his seasons and when he was 24, and you can look at his last season when he was 37. It's not much different. I mean, the last year he played, he had 83 catches and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, he was pretty impressive.
That, at 37 years old, 859 yards. And before that, 93 catches.
Better player or better broadcaster?
930 yards, 8 touchdowns. That's when he was 36 and 37.
Paulie's in debt.
No drop off.
And you can't ignore that and say, wow, Gronk's just better. No.
You can't.
It's got to be part of it.
Now, to be able to do it that long is important. Paulie, go ahead, buddy.
Okay, boys. There's a few things going on here with this Gronkowski situation. I think he's coming back. I think, with the salary cap situation, they need to try to create some room. So I think they asked him to take a pay cut. He said no. I'm the only first-string caliber tight end you have. You're not doing that to me. I pay the price with my body. You're not doing that to me. I'm not doing it. They were trying to work it out. They couldn't work it out. So you know what? I'm going to retire. And I think what's in his mind, like Willie said, he's going to go out, he's going to take a break, and he's going to heal. He needs to heal. His body's hurt. He needs a time off. He's going to take the next 6 months. He's going to heal. He's going to make some easy money to make up that half of the season salary that he's going to be missing to fill that void. Then he'll come back and play for pay. He's not going to say, he probably told him, I'm not committing for a whole year after all I've done for you, put myself through, and have you cut my salary. I'm not doing committing for a whole year. I'm not doing that. I'll come back, think about it. I'm going to go heal. We'll think. I'm going to
think okay,
about
okay,
this.
We're there. Yeah, same thing.
You've got your point across. And he may be right. That might have happened. They may have had a conversation, and they passed it along to Drew Rosenhaus. Listen, we're not going to pay him the same amount of money. We don't know if he can give us 16 games. He was struggling out there. He can't practice an awful lot. We're willing to back off some of the schedule, but we're not going to give him all that money. And Gronk might have said, screw it. Then I don't want to do it. I think you said this a while back, Christian, around the Super Bowl. Gronk is not going to take a cut in pay. Suppose they asked him to take a cut in pay, because when you look at it on the surface, it does make
but
sense.
I'll give
it
you this, though.
Sense.
This was Drew Rosenhaus to Don Banks from Patriots.com. He says, before Gronk made his retirement announcement official Sunday afternoon, Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, said he made a last-ditch effort to persuade his client to allow him to approach the Patriots, broach the idea of allowing Gronk some special exemptions from off-season workouts, a significant portion of training camp, and the preseason in exchange for continuance of his NFL career. But the idea never went anywhere because Gronk wouldn't entertain it. Quote, I absolutely would have gone to the Patriots and said, just work with us. I don't think we would have had a hard time getting it done either.
Okay, is it possible
and Gronk said no.
Is it possible that the Patriots went to him originally, asked him to take a cut in pay? He said absolutely not. And Rosenhaus came up with this idea later on. I tell you what, Gronk, why don't we go back to them? We'll take that cut and pay, but you're going to back
how much
off
is
your
Drew
schedule.
Rosenhaus
you're going to
about,
back off
how
the
much
schedule.
Has Drew Rosenhaus talked about Rob Gronkowski in the last 5 days? I mean, I feel like I'm reading quotes from this guy everywhere, right? From Don Banks to Peter King to other interviews. All,
he did the media car wash on every network today.
You don't think
I
at one point
if he came back to play a few games?
Yeah, you don't think at one point he would have said, yeah, they asked him to take less? Why would he leave that part out?
Because it doesn't look good for him as an agent.
Yeah.
It looks bad for an agent if you have to admit that they came to you and wanted your player to take a cut in pay. It's much better if you can present it that, I tell you what, we're going to take a fewer games. We're going to take half the season off. We'll take a cut in pay to do that, but my guy needs to rest his body. It looks a lot better. Makes the player look better, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. It makes the player look better if they try to cut my salary and he's like, you know what? I don't need it. I'm gone. I retire. That's a boss move.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Rosenhaus has got a safe face.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to, I don't think Rosenhaus is going to tell you the truth about any of this stuff. But I find it particularly interesting that he keeps on bringing up the point that Gronk might come back.
That's such bull crap.
Keeps
he's
on
like,
bringing
oh, no.
it up.
Wait, listen to what he said. I don't know if you have it right now teed up, but he basically just said, I don't know, he may come back for a couple games.
Wouldn't shock me if he has a change of heart, if he feels great and he decides that he wants to play football. But this is just me talking. This isn't Rob. and I don't want to create any unnecessary expectations, but Rob is a very unique personality. If the team was struggling or they needed him at some point next year, and let's just say hypothetically Tom Brady gave him a call and said, Rob, I need you, I wouldn't be shocked if he came back to play a few games.
That makes no sense. That makes no sense. And then, that an agent said, would say that. And the only reason an agent would say that is if he knows his client and he knows his client is not necessarily walking away entirely with free will, that he still wants to play the game, but that maybe they did try to ask him to take that pay cut. And so maybe he comes back on his terms and plays at the end of the season, gets less money, which is the Patriots will be fine with, and Rob doesn't wear down his body. I
couldn't care less about the team struggling.
I just think that is, in for an agent to do that is very, very strange. And he's repeated it over and over and over again today. All right, we got last calls coming up next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I'm not thrilled about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch my thumb.
Where's it gonna f***ing end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All right, it's an all-legal version of Last Call today. You guys remember the lawyer Michael Avenatti?
Oh, yeah.
He was the guy that brought forth that woman and claimed that during the Kavanaugh hearings that Kavanaugh apparently was running his own, like, brothel or something. Remember that whole thing? It was kind of crazy. He was arrested today on federal charges of embezzling money from a client,
this is funny.
Defrauding a bank, and attempting to extort sports gear giant Nike in separate criminal cases filed in both New York and Santa Ana. Came just hours after a meeting with Nike lawyers that federal prosecutors recorded part of a little sting operation to capture him trying to extort millions from the company. What a sweetheart this guy is, huh?
Well, the best part was that he tweeted out early this morning. Did you see that? It says, tomorrow at 11 a.m., we're going to be holding a press conference to disclose a major high school college basketball scandal perpetrated by Nike that we have uncovered. This criminal conduct reaches the highest levels of Nike and involves some of the biggest names in college basketball. Shortly after, they pressed charges against this guy for trying to get money out of Nike. $20 million?
Yeah. And the guy's got a shaky past. I mean, he is just an outright sleazebag. So Trump had a pretty good weekend,
I would say,
with the Mueller report.
He didn't really need to gloat about it.
And now it looks like his other foe here, Michael Avenatti, who tried to destroy him, is in serious trouble. Which brings us to another legal matter. And that's, remember the Big Baller brand?
Yes,
everybody
I do.
Was going to be wearing
I couldn't afford the Big Ballers.
Yeah. Big Ballers.
Yeah, they were like $500 or whatever. Lonzo Ball has severed ties with a co-founder of the Big Baller brand
over
concerns that the longtime family friend has a criminal past and also has not adequately accounted for the whereabouts of roughly $1.5 million from Ball's personal and business accounts.
Oh, no, my boy's even got testing checks. Ball, I'll write it myself.
Ball told ESPN he believes that Alan Foster, who was a friend of Lonzo's father for almost a decade, who owns 16.3% of the Big Baller brand, had used his access to my business and personal finances to enrich himself. As a result, I have decided to sever all ties with Alan, effective immediately.
So I'm curious how, so I said friends for almost a decade. So yeah, it wasn't that long. But so this guy, Alan Foster, right? They didn't look too deep into his history, right? Because it was in 2002. Let me ask you if this is somebody you would want to run your company. In 2002, Alan Foster was sentenced to more than 7 years in prison after pleading guilty to one count of mail fraud, two counts of money laundering as part of a scheme that defrauded 70 investors of $4 million.
Had it all planned out from day one.
That's the guy I want to run my company.
That's the guy you hire to run your company?
Yep.
So guess what? So I guess their advisor, this guy, Lukanga, his last name is Lukanga. So they sent an email, apparently, that went out to Lonzo and the father. I love this email. And the headline was, urgent, $1.5 million missing.
Welcome to Big Baller Zone.
He says, they've been unsuccessful tracking down $1.5 million in cash, he wrote. He says, this guy Foster won't show any invoices, documentation, his expenses. He won't even give me the number to the vendors he said he paid. I've never, capital letters, I've never seen a company operate by withdrawing millions in cash. Only you, this is Alonzo, and Alan can withdraw cash. And I know you didn't take out $1.5 million, so where is the money?
What's your fallback plan?
I ain't got no fallback plan.
Imagine getting that email.
It's either at a casino.
Urgent. Right. We can't find all your money.
Urgent. $1.5 million
is
missing.
Where are the shoes even made?
China. But they're done. They are absolutely
done.
Are done. Yeah. Ramona Shelbourne tweeting out, the Ball family had discussions over the weekend about folding Big Baller brand and anything associated with Alan Foster.
The Big Baller way.
Lonzo Ball was told by the Lakers, apparently, and their medical staff that part of his ankle problems might be the Big Baller.
Anybody surprised?
He's wearing.
Anybody surprised?
So guess what he's wearing now? He's wearing Nike.
Yeah. It really is a... I mean, the next thing is LeVar Ball taking a back seat, disappearing. What's what I saw? That he needs to disappear. Not in a bad way. Just stay out of the arena. Don't go on TV shows. Don't make a big stir. Just stay out of the way and let your son be a basketball player.
He's making horrible sneakers and having your son, first round pick, second overall, wear them. And that's the reason why there's such horse bleep. That now his ankles are bothering him and he can't play basketball because you're trying to promote awful sneakers.
Yeah, except Zion Williamson could sit there and say, hey, they're better than the Nikes.
At least they didn't blow out.
By the way, that was an unbelievable game to watch. I must tell you, and we talked about this last week, NCAA tournament, I had it on in the background, and these games on the whole are fairly boring. This game, the UCF game with Duke, was a phenomenal game. And unfortunately, because I was at the end, weren't you rooting for Central Florida?
Of course you were.
You were rooting for
game.
And Taco Fall, the tallest man I've ever seen in my life.
And they got lucky. Boy, did Duke get lucky or whatever.
And then they mentioned that, too. It's what happens. Sometimes luck, you just got to be okay with winning with luck.
Yeah, Taco Fall, he jams the ball through the rim and never leaves the floor.
Strange looking dude.
His very first shot, he grabbed the ball with one hand.
Yeah. This isn't like a guy that's like 7'6 and just a rail, and you're like,
not Manute
Bol. No, and it hurts. Yeah. Watch him run. You know what I mean? He looks like he can move a little bit.
But I'll tell you, Duke
can't shoot a free throw save his life, but that's all right.
Duke got lucky, and Krzyzewski, when the game was over, admitted it. We got lucky.
Yeah, that's my point.
Lucky.
Sure, they knew they did.
Still be in this tournament. All right, it's time to spin the wheel. See who's on at 6 o'clock tonight.
It's Butch Stearns.
No, you would be wrong. It's Alex Reamer. Tonight.
With who?
With Cilio tonight. It's Monday.
Avenatti calling in.
No, it will.
Stormy Daniels.
Nope, not Cilio. It's going to be Evan Drellick.
Oh, okay.
Reamer and Drellick.
Should be an interesting show.
You know, suddenly, Drellick's getting a lot of love in the building lately. Has anybody noticed what I've noticed? Yeah. He's getting a lot of love.
See, what he did is, you have a tantrum. You yell and scream. You hold out.
Right.
You don't show up on time.
Right.
You get what you want.
Right.
He didn't get the job done.
It's called leverage.
You taught them how to do all this stuff. Hey, donate your car. Help a child today. Schedule your free pickup. 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com.
OMF was focusing on...
Is that it? You good?
We're done, bud. We're back tomorrow, 2 p.m.
Be, yes,
be here, be here, be here, be here. We're out of here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.